What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. These are the best picks in every round of ADP. We did a video a couple weeks back talking about ESPN and Yahoo strategy. You guys pointed out to us that we were using the wrong rankings, so we're back with an updated version using ESPN Mike Clay's projections, which is what ESPN drafters are drafting on, and Yahoo X-Rank, which is what Yahoo drafters are drafting on, in combination with Sleeper ADP and NFL ADP. We're bringing you guys the FSE rank versus home league sites to determine who are the best values in overall ADP for your guys' fantasy football drafts. So we're not going to waste any time. Let's get right into round one. Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall both popping from the New York Jets as the best values in the first round. You guys can see in our draft guide, we have our FSC rank and then all of the ADPs of Sleeper, ESPN, Underdog, NFL, Yahoo, all combined together to an average home league ADP site, multi-site ADP. And it pops that Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson are the best values. For both of these guys, Breece Hall, top six running back off a torn ACL last year with Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, and Zach Wilson as his quarterback. He had the worst case scenario play out for him. 27th ranked offensive line, bottom five scoring offense, barely any red zone opportunities, and he was still a top six rated running back in fantasy football. This year, the offensive line has improved. They have Aaron Rodgers coming back. He led all running backs in targets with 95, and I think a 40-year-old quarterback coming off of a torn Achilles is probably going to feed his feature back in the passing game as well. Love Breece Hall this year. My favorite anchor running back to leave the first round with, anywhere from picks 4 to 8. I believe he is an awesome, awesome value there. Garrett Wilson, if you guys have a later pick in the draft, he is this year's CeeDee Lamb. The reason I love Garrett Wilson so much is because Aaron Rodgers feeds his number one receiver. Garrett Wilson has been a 90th plus percentile separator the first 2 years of his career. He's just been stuck with Zach Wilson and some terrible quarterback play. Devontae Adams, when he was in his prime in 2020 and 2021, was first and third in red zone targets, and he was fed inside of the 10-yard line. Aaron Rodgers loves throwing the ball in the red zone. Garrett Wilson is going to be his number one dude. So if you are looking for a great pick in the first round, I believe it will come from the New York Jets. Round two, we get to Nico Collins and Isaiah Pacheco. Again, if you're looking for a wide receiver and a running back, I gave you one option at each position. With Nico, you got a 6'4", 215-pound wide receiver with elite athleticism, elite speed, elite vertical jump, 17.4 PPR points per game last year, which was top seven among all fantasy wide receivers. He's an elite talent. I think a lot of people look at Nico Collins and think he only produced because CJ Stroud only had him to throw to down the stretch. But if you watch the tape, you can see that this is clearly a top five NFL wide receiver in 2023. He was top five in yards per out run, top five in PFF receiving grade. He is the best wide receiver on this team. He also is the biggest. He gets the downfield targets. He gets the red zone targets, 90th plus percentile separator. For that size, that is extremely, extremely impressive. So if you're looking for a wide receiver in the late second round, make it Nico Collins. If you are looking for a running back in the mid to late second round, Isaiah Pacheco checks every single box, in my opinion. You have size, you have speed, you have receiving upside. They've talked about him being more involved on third down. His route participation increased from 33% to 45% down the stretch and into the playoffs last year. Offensive projection is extremely high for the Kansas City Chiefs, currently the Super Bowl favorite, currently projected for the third most points in the NFL. Low backfield competition. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Carson Steele and Denarik Prince, basically terrible running backs and UDFAs. And Isaiah Pacheco has shown a fair amount of talent so far to this point in his NFL career. I get he's not a top 10 NFL running back, but he has great speed. He has good receiving upside, and he runs hard for a great offense and should see a lot of red zone opportunities. And more importantly, volume is king at the running back position, especially when that volume is coming in a top three NFL offense. And he had the third most touches in the NFL last year, could be set to explode in year three. So moving on to round three, we have Devon Achane and Jaylen Waddle, another pair of teammates that we're looking at here. Devon Achane, elite efficiency, best rushing offense in the NFL, averaged 19.6 PPR points per game as a rookie in games where he was actually fully healthy and getting a full snap share. Sharing a backfield, he's undersized. I get the concerns for Devon Achane, but lean on the history here. When you bet on rookie running backs going into their second year who have the type of efficiency that Devon Achane had, the only real example we have is Alvin Kamara, and people screamed regression for him all the time, just like they're doing it for Devon Achane. I think Achane on 15, 20 opportunities per game, most of those coming high value in the red zone, long touchdowns, and in the receiving game, I believe he can return a 20-point per game season, even if Raheem Mostert is a big part of this backfield, produces 10 touchdowns and 800 rushing yards. I love Devon Achane. Take the risk on him, especially at the 2-3 turn where he's going on most home league platforms. Jaylen Waddle, also a very, very good pick in the mid to late third round. 14 or more PPR points per game in all three of his NFL seasons so far. Never below wide receiver 21 in points per game, even despite a down injury-riddled season last year. Yet he is wide receiver 17 in ADP in the best schemed or one of the best schemed offenses in the NFL. Mike McDaniel utilizes play action, utilizes motion more than any other coach in the league. And those targets, per Dwayne McFarland of Fantasy Life, are about 50 to 60% more valuable than an average target on a non-play action play. So even though Jaylen Waddle shares a wide receiver core with Tyreek Hill and he's got to share the offense in general with all that talent, Tua is an accurate quarterback, and those targets, every target he gets, are extremely, extremely valuable in this offense. So moving into round four, we have Malik Nabers, James Cook, and Trey McBride, depending on what position you are targeting. Malik Nabers was the second best wide receiver prospect in the history of my prospect model going back to 2016, better than Jamar Chase, better than CeeDee Lamb, just behind Marvin Harrison Jr., who of course was also in this draft class. Malik Nabers is in a bad offense. There's no sugarcoating it, but I believe he is the type of talent that can elevate this offense. He can get the best out of the coaching staff with Brian Daboll, the best out of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones just 2 years ago was first in adjusted completion percentage. So you can say what you want about Danny Dimes from a, you know, arm talent standpoint, or maybe he's not the best quarterback under pressure, whatever the case is, but he can throw an accurate football, especially with Malik Nabers, the amount of separation he has commanded just so far in the preseason. I mean, if you've been watching these games, Malik Nabers has looked like an absolute stud. And again, this offense just 2 years ago was a league average unit with Daniel Jones throwing to Richie James, Darius Slayton, and Isaiah Hodgins. So with Malik Nabers, Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, Devin Singletary in the backfield, you can squint and tell me a story that this is an average offense because they're well coached and because they have now a number one wide receiver who looks as advertised. So don't be worried about Malik Nabers being in a bad offense. Get him in the fourth round. He is absolutely worth that price. It is completely baked in at that price tag of the draft. James Cook, if you're looking for a running back here, he's one of the few guys who are going in the dead zone, quote unquote, that I actually really like. James Cook, his only concern is goal line work. He had 1,700 total yards last year and only scored 6 touchdowns, only 2 of which came on the ground. That is just simply not likely to repeat itself. The best indicator for touchdown production is how much yards and how many touches you have. And James Cook had elite volume last year. With Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis gone, they are looking for somebody to step up in this offense. And I believe it will be James Cook this year. 4 of his 6 touchdowns last year came once Joe Brady took over the offense, once Joe Brady took over the play calling. James Cook has beefed up according to the coaching staff, added some size. I believe the goal line work is going to come this year. I believe the receiving work, obviously it's 62 targets last year. I think he can go up to 90 to 100 targets this year with the lack of receiving talent in that offense. I love James Cook this year. He has a chance to return a top 5 ceiling. Trey McBride, also a very good option in the fourth round if all the wide receivers have dried up. Tight end 2 down the stretch last year. He commanded over 90% of the routes week 8 onward, led all tight ends last year with 2.03 yards per route run, was 5th in receiving grade per PFF. He has more target competition now with Marvin Harrison Jr. coming in, but this is still an elite option in an offense that I expect to be improved. Kyler Murray 2 years off the ACL. They add a true number one wide receiver. Trey McBride is a very, very safe bet in the fourth round for some good production at an elite onesie position. Round five, we get into, we have T. Higgins and George Kittle. T. Higgins is everybody's favorite whipping boy, wide receiver 12 in PPR points per game just 2 years ago, the last time he was fully healthy. This is an offense that is top five in pass rate over expected the last couple of years. Burrow, Higgins, and Chase, these guys have gotten super unlucky with injuries, super unlucky with running cold. They are due for an explosion year. The ticky-tack injuries that T. Higgins has suffered have been super overblown, super unpredictable as well. If he can stay healthy in a contract year this year, I believe he has a chance to have a top 12 season, and you are getting him at a basement discount, basically expecting that he's going to miss three or four games. And if that doesn't happen, he is going to be a huge return on investment. I personally drafted him in my own home league. George Kittle, also a guy who is a ticky-tack injury king. The 49ers led all teams in scoring last year. I expect them to be the best offense in the league again this year. I want pieces of it. I know George Kittle's got to compete for targets with McCaffrey, with Debo, and with Brandon Ayuk, and now Ricky Pearsall, but he had eight games last year of over 16 PPR points. That type of weekly ceiling doesn't come in the fifth round very often for an elite tight end who has the chance to really have a monster year. He has been tight end six or better every year since 2018, his breakout season in PPR points per game, and of course would benefit mightily if any of Debo, Ayuk, or McCaffrey were to suffer an injury. George Kittle is the type of dude that if you like to hit a double in your fantasy draft, you already have a good team, you're just trying to not miss on your mid-round picks. George Kittle is exactly the type of guy I'm going after. Round six, we get into Rashee Rice and Kyle Pitts. Rashee Rice, of course, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, unlikely to receive a suspension until 2025, according to FF lawyer Drew Davenport. 86.1 receiving grade, 2.21 yards per out run. Both of those marks were top 15 among wide receivers as a rookie last year, and they were second and third, respectively, among rookies behind Puka Nacua and Tank Dell for the receiving grade. He is the over-the-middle target for Patrick frickin' Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to have a monster year this year with all of the receiving talent that they've added. I want pieces of this offense, and I also think Rashee Rice is the biggest beneficiary if Travis Kelce were to get injured or if he falls off. Of course, he's very old, and there's a chance that that stuff happens. Rashee Rice was the over-the-middle slant, drag route type of guy. Great for PPR leagues if you're looking for some mid-round wide receiver talent. He goes way higher than this in sharper formats. 48th overall on Underdog, 70th overall on Sleeper, 69th overall on ESPN. The sharps are taking this guy way, way higher than your casual home league mates are taking him. Kyle Pitts, also a very good option in this range of the draft. People have been burned by Kyle Pitts, and that's why everybody is down on him. But if you are out on him this year, he's going to burn you again for a different reason, because Kyle Pitts' quarterbacks have ranked outside the top 30 in PFF passing grade all three seasons of his NFL career. The Falcons were second worst in pass rate over expected since he's been in the league. And this is still a guy who posted 1,000 yards as a rookie, was a top five tight end in receiving grade that year, top five in yards per route run, played through a knee issue in 2022. He actually suffered that injury later in that season. In 2023, he was coming off that surgery, wasn't quite right. Now he has Kirk Cousins, who, yes, is coming off a torn Achilles, but even if he gets injured, you have Michael Penix, who was the top 10 pick in the NFL draft. If you've been burned by Kyle Pitts before, he's about to burn you again, because he is finally going to have the year that everybody expected of him when he was drafted in the top five of the NFL draft. Round seven, this is upside swing central. You see Jaden Reed, Romo Odunze, and Xavier Worthy there. Jaden Reed and Xavier Worthy can be integral parts of top offenses. Worthy as a field stretcher, of course, who was a great prospect. He posted 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns as an 18-year-old true freshman in the Power 5. He was ranking very similarly in my prospect model to guys like Chris Olave, guys like Jordan Addison, guys like that mid-first round type of talents. Jaden Reed was a wide receiver one down the stretch. Once he took over a full-time role, he gets designed touches. He scored double-digit touchdowns as a rookie, and I really love this Packers offense to be the breakout unit of 2024. And Romo Odunze was a top 10 NFL draft pick. Best comparable prospect profiles to Drake London and Devontae Smith when they were coming out. The Bears have an exciting rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, a quarterback who Romo Odunze and him have been working out together since the NFL draft. And Romo Odunze coming into this offense has a lot of ambiguity because of DJ Moore, because of Keenan Allen. I have a lot of confidence and a lot of conviction to say that Romo Odunze could be the best wide receiver on this team as soon as his rookie season. That is how good of a prospect he was. He alpha Jalen McMillan in college. He alpha Jalen Polk in college. Both of those guys were day two NFL draft picks. Keenan Allen is old, could be washed up, and DJ Moore, as good as he is, has a chance to be, you know, 1A, 1B with Romo Odunze. And I think given the upside that you're getting in round seven here with Romo Odunze, he is worth the swing, especially for those of you guys that play in full PPR, two wide receiver, one flex type of leagues. You don't really need to to be drafting for safety in this area of the draft. Swing for an upside swing like Worthy, Reed, or Romo Dunze. And again, we have more upside swings in round 8. JSN, Ladd McConkey, and Keon Coleman pop as the best wide receivers or the best players in this round of the draft. And again, earlier in the video, I mentioned it, but you can get all of these FSE rankings versus home leagues along with a ton of other content in our draft guide, which is linked down below in the pinned comment and in the description. More upside swings at wide receiver. You have JSN, talk of Seahawks camp right now. He was a top prospect coming out. He was my wide receiver 1 in the 2023 class. Definitely didn't have a great rookie season. He was definitely used really poorly. Tyler Lockett has been steadily declining the last couple of years. And new offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, who comes from the University of Washington, where they used Odunze, used McMillan, and used Jalen Polk to the best of their abilities. I believe that JSN can be the PPR, Jalen McMillan, high target type of guy in this offense. And with Geno Smith, you're looking at a guy who is going to stretch the field to DK Metcalf, but he's going to need a reliable over-the-middle target. And I believe that JSN takes that step this year. Ladd McConkey has the upside to be Justin Herbert's number one receiver. So let's start with that. Ladd fills the Keenan Allen role in this offense for Justin Herbert. In this offense where nobody has really shown the ability to command targets. Quentin Johnson is bad. You have Josh Palmer there who's been solid, but not necessarily a high target commander. And Ladd McConkey was one of the best separators in this class. I thought his film was absolutely unreal. It was difficult to piece together his prospect profile because he had such an injury-riddled career at Georgia. And also, too, he was dealing with Brock Bowers commanding targets, George Pickens commanding targets, Adonai Mitchell commanding targets, all in his same offense. But when he was on the field, he was an absolute nightmare to defend on out routes, on in breakers, those type of routes that Justin Herbert is going to rely on him for to help move the chains in what we expect to be a run heavy offense, but they should run a lot of play action. I think Ladd McConkey can eat against that type of coverage. Then you have Keon Coleman for the Buffalo Bills, raw prospect, probably will take him a couple of games to get his sea legs under him, but opportunity really for the number one receiver for a top five scoring offense with Josh Allen, a guy who did flash some solid potential as a red zone threat at Michigan State and at Florida State. Give him some time, but definitely a very good upside swing. Then we move into round 9 where you have Brian Thomas Jr. and Chase Brown. Brian Thomas, another one of these upside rookie wide receivers. Again, this was a great wide receiver class. You should have expected me talking about all these dudes as great projections. 6'3", 215 pounds is Brian Thomas Jr. Ran in the low 4.3s as a prospect, jumped out the gym, produced a 17-touchdown season in the SEC on the same field as Malik Nabers, who, like I said, was my second best wide receiver prospect going back to the 2016 NFL draft. And Malik Nabers was the best wide receiver in college football last year. Perfect fit for this Trevor Lawrence offense. I think Brian Thomas is what they've been missing. They need a guy to go up and get it down the field. They need a guy to go up and get it in the red zone. This offense passes a lot in the red zone, and they tried to push the ball downfield a lot last year. Calvin Ridley was not the type of fit, not the type of player that they needed as their number one receiver. Brian Thomas is. He is the type of guy that can stretch the field and make big plays happen with that speed, with that size, and with his ability to score touchdowns. He has looked great so far in training camp and in preseason games. If you are looking for an upside swing, you already have your starting lineup filled out by this point in the draft, most likely. Brian Thomas is the perfect guy to stash in standard and half PPR, especially because he is the type of guy that can score a lot of touchdowns at the wide receiver position. Then you get into Chase Brown. Everything points to Chase Brown being the Bengals RB1 this year. They have said pretty much nothing other than if Chase Brown is a good enough player to be the running back one on this team, he will be the running back one on this team. Zach Moss was a contingency. He wasn't a very good running back prior to last year when he was in the Shane Steichen Indianapolis Colts scheme that can elevate the play of any running back. Chase Brown was a good prospect. Workhorse ball carrier at Illinois. I absolutely loved his film coming out of college. He tested as an elite athlete coming out of college. He had good third down abilities coming out of college. He had all the makings of one of the best sleeper running back prospects in the draft, and it is absolutely playing out that way. He has flashed big play upside in the NFL as a rookie. It looks like he has taken a step forward. The GM called him one of the most improved players on the roster and one of the most improved players he's ever seen from a rookie going to his second year. I believe Chase Brown will have a breakout season this year, hence why I drafted him in my home league in the 9th round. He is going super, super undervalued on sleeper, especially 118th overall player. NFL ADP has him at 144. He is one of the perfect upside swings for your bench and definitely a great target if you guys are running hero and zero RB builds. Now we get to round 10 to close out this video. We have the Buffalo Bills wide receivers, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir. Probably a bet against Keon Coleman if you take any of these guys, so probably don't take all of them together. Shakir is the cheapest on most platforms. He has been the one that I have gravitated towards. Josh Allen is going to produce wide receiver production. With Curtis Samuel, you have a guy who finished with 14.1 PPR points per game the last time he was with Joe Brady, who is the current offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. Back in Carolina in 2020, Curtis Samuel was wide receiver 27 in points per game, along with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, who all finished as top 27 wide receivers that year. And Teddy Bridgewater was their quarterback. So if Joe Brady did a lot of magic with Curtis Samuel and Teddy Bridgewater, imagine what he can do with less target competition and Josh Allen as his quarterback. So I feel really good about Curtis Samuel if you need a safe wide receiver 3 flex option in PPR leagues. But Khalil Shakir, to me, is the higher upside play in this area of the draft. In year 2 last year, he produced 611 yards as a day 3 pick. He had to earn the starting job as the season went along, and he ranked 31st among wide receivers with a 76.9 receiving grade. He had 1.75 yards per route run, which was better than Zay Flowers last year, better than T. Higgins last year, better than Cortland Sutton last year, better than Calvin Ridley last year, just behind Cooper Kupp last year. He had a very, very good second season, and he has been one of my highest drafted wide receivers in underdog fantasy best ball drafts because I do think that in year 3, he could take a big step as the team's starting slot receiver. He's looked pretty good in the preseason so far. He's a good yards after catch threat, a guy who could command 110, 120 targets in a Josh Allen-led offense this year. I have drafted a ton of Khalil Shakir. So those were my best picks in every fantasy football round. Depending on what you're looking for, I gave you some running back stuff, some wide receiver stuff, and some tight end stuff. I did not talk about quarterbacks, mainly because I do think this is a great year to fade the quarterback position. So definitely, if you're taking anything away from this, the strategy of this year, you heard me talk about running backs rounds 1 to 4, but not in the dead zone. That is by design. I don't like taking running backs in the dead zone rounds 5 to 8 specifically. And I do like getting my running backs early. So Breece Hall, Isaiah Pacheco, Devon Achane, and James Cook are some of my best early round running back targets. If you guys are looking to anchor your teams with running back production, hammer out the wide receivers in the mid rounds. You guys know what we do around here. Get yourself an elite tight end if you can, whether it's Pitts, whether it's Kittle, whether it's McBride, some of the guys that I talked about, and then backfill your bench with wide receiver upside in these rookies, in these ambiguous backfields like Chase Brown as well. If you guys enjoyed this video, please leave me a like down below. Really, really helps out the channel. Subscribe to the channel if you guys are new around here. And make sure if you guys want all of this data, I basically went through our rankings versus home league consensus. That is available in our draft guide, which you can get for free in the link down below in the pinned comment. If you sign up on underdogfantasy.com, use the promo code FSE when you sign up, you will get our draft guide in your email inbox within 24 hours for free once you make a $10 deposit using that promo code FSE. So if you want our draft guide to get ready for your drafts this Labor Day weekend, head on over to the link in the pinned comment and get started. If you already have an underdog account, you can't play underdog where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com and use the promo code FSE over there. When you sign up annually, you get 6 months for free. You get 30% off. You get a 7-day free trial by using our promo code as well. And we have tons more content other than our draft guide on flockfantasy.com. You have the ability to ask us start sit questions. You have the ability to check our weekly rankings. You have the ability to see all of the other creators, Mason, Avery, and Nathan, and Zach and Madake, who I've been posting videos of our trip to Texas the last couple of days. Definitely check out Flock Fantasy. There's a ton of great content, and we are redesigning the site, and it looks absolutely spectacular. I cannot wait for you guys to see that. All of that will be linked down below in the pinned comment. But with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.